And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan, and how are you?
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, good. So, welcome back.
Thank you. It's so nice to be back
on the radio.
It's good to be back.
Good. So, where we have this week's Torah portion, where we're going to start the new book of Devarim, of Deuteronomy. So, that means that we're starting to get closer to Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Because come Sukkot, we're going to be done the whole book. So we're going to start getting ready for that. But we see in this week's Torah portion, it says that 37 days before his passing, Moses is, on the first day of the Hebrew month of Shvat, Moses begins his final series of talks to his beloved people. And he's going to be telling them words of rebuke, inspiration, hope. And in his first talk, he related the story of them leaving Mount Sinai after being there for almost a year. And then at that point, before the sin of the spies, they were headed straight for the land of Israel. And what did Moses say? Moses said, and I quote the verse, "The Lord our God spoke to us on Sinai and saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain," which is interesting to note, "you have dwelt long enough at this mountain, turn and journey and come to the mountain, to the Amorites and to all its neighboring places, in the plain and on the mountain and in the lowland and in the south and by the seashore, the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon, until the great river," and I end quote. That's what it says in the actual Torah. And God said, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain." In other words, enough already. You have too much of Sinai, which seems really quite strange, because wasn't the revelation at Sinai the most important event in our history? That should be the most important thing happening in the world. And it's the foundation of our religion and basis of all of Torah. So how can one have too much of Sinai? What can be more more spiritually uplifting than camping at the foot of Sinai? So this somehow doesn't really make sense. Sinai was a great place to be. The revelation at the Sinai was the most formative experience of all of our people. But there came a moment when dwelling at Sinai became a distraction. And God said, "You've been here too long. It's time to face the real world." It was time for the Jews to take the Sinai inspiration and bring it to the day-to-day life in the land of Israel. Which, okay, we can understand that a little bit, you know, when you're getting too much of one thing, take that and go and inspire the world, go and inspire other people. And Rashi, who's the main commentary on the Torah, he offers a homiletic interpretation of this verse. And he says, "I have given you much greatness and reward for you having dwelt at this mountain. Because what have you done? You've made the Mishkan, you've made the menorah, you've made the other furnishing, you've received the Torah, you've appointed the courts for yourselves, you've appointed the leaders, so on and so forth." And Rashi interprets this verse to mean not what most people would think, that the Jewish people had spent too much time at Sinai, but rather they had achieved much at Sinai. Which means, okay,
yeah,
go out, do what you need to do. But what about the most important achievement? What about experiencing the divine revelation? Because Moses himself spends a good chunk of the next portion, next week, describing the revelation of Sinai. But it wasn't yet. So why is it really the main revelation? And God is saying, you've had enough. Because when Moses told the Jewish people to pack their bags and depart the camp at the foot of Mount Sinai, the people, obviously, you and I would think right away, they were very unhappy. they certainly preferred to remain in a spiritual paradise. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to stay where everything is good, where you have everything and everything is there for you?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They must have feared the possibility, not worrying about where they're going, but the possibility of losing inspiration, the vision, and all the spiritual resolve that came with it. So they were scared. We're all scared of change. They were scared. What's going to happen? We're going to go out now into the free world, into the big world, and guess what's going to happen? We're going to be different. We're not going to have that. And Moses comes as the leader that he was supposed to be, and he reassures them. And he tells them not to worry. He told them that after all the time that they spent at Mount Sinai, they certainly had the tools to continue their journey to the promised land. So therefore, when Moses enumerated the achievements at Sinai, what they've done, he mentioned not the revelation themselves, but rather the menorah, the study of the Torah, setting up the court system. That's what he tells them. Why? Because these were symbols not of an earth-shattering, awe-inspiring experience. They weren't all this spiritual wow and, oh my gosh, now I'm going to lose that. But rather, it was the divine wisdom being implemented into daily life. Making the menorah, that's something physical. Putting people in charge of the courses, and that's something physical. They've now taken all the spirituality, all of the divine inspiration that they're getting at Mount Sinai, and what are they doing? They're implementing it into the world. Because Moses understood that Sinai really was a spiritual bliss, but to fulfill the purpose of creation, to connect heaven and earth, which was the main purpose that God created the world, the Jewish people needed to follow specific steps. They needed to introduce measures, consistent spirituality into their lives. You know, if we just have a physical entity, a physical being, a physical life, and no spirituality, we feel empty. We feel we are missing something. Why is it that people are going all over the world to search for spirituality? And that is because even though they might have everything they need, even though they might have all their physical things, they feel empty. Moses is teaching us a very important lesson. Yes, the occasional spiritual intense moment, that's critical. You know, you feel that, wow, I feel amazing. I feel that spiritual moment. That's good. We feel that on Yom Kippur. You know, we feel like at that time we're like angels in the heaven. But in essence, that's really not enough. Because the question we ask ourselves is, not how often do we feel spiritual as we do on Yom Kippur, but rather, what specific action will we take today to ensure that our life is imbued with the life of the Torah's teaching? And that's something that is probably the most important thing that a person can have in our lives. That yes, we need to have the spiritual moment. But what do we do with that spiritual moment? Where are we going with it? And that's why God says, enough. You've had your Mount Sinai. Go. Go and take everything of your spirituality and put it into the world. And that actually really fits well with this week that we're in, the 9 days of mourning, which is going to be Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av, the fasting, the destruction of the Holy Temple, which is on Sunday. Is a fast day, starts Saturday night and ends Sunday night, which really teaches us the temple was destroyed. We don't have any of the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. But we're taking all that spirituality that we've gained, that we've learned, that we've had, and we bring it into the world. We make that this world becomes a temple. We make that this world becomes a holy temple, a dwelling, resting place for God, that we should be able to, with that, make sure that we fulfill God's purpose, which is to bring God into this world. And I think that's such a vital, important message that we can all have in this week, Torah portion, and especially in our life.
Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
So we have services Friday evening, 7:15. Shabbat morning is at 9:30, and then Sunday morning is at 8:30, and Monday and Thursday at 7:15. So let's bring out all this spirituality and be inspired.
Sounds good. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend.
Thank you, and look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
All right. Be well, Ilan.
Thank you again. Bye-bye. Shabbat Shalom.